Welcome to the Old Fashioned On Purpose podcast. Homesteading is kind of taking off, and there is more content floating around out there about homesteading than ever before. I'm seeing new books being published every month. There's articles and blogs and websites, and it's cool. But I gotta be really candid here, friends. Here's the deal. Most of that advice telling you how to start homesteading, well, it's junk. It's well-intentioned, but it is leading you down the wrong path. Because let's face it, you can't truly start a homestead from a blog post titled 10 Easy Steps to Start a Homestead, right? It just doesn't quite work like that. Now, I've been homesteading for over a decade, and I've helped a ton of folks start their homesteads or build their existing homesteads. And I know there are some very specific things you must do if you want to get out of this mode I call paralysis by analysis and actually start making things happen. So we are going to dive into that in today's episode. I'm really excited for this one. I'm a little fired up. Let's do this. I'm your host, Jill Winger, and this is the podcast for the trailblazers, the mavericks, the makers, the homesteaders, the modern pioneers, and the backyard farmers. I'm known as the Homestead Mentor because I've helped thousands of people over the years live off the land and return to their roots, no matter where they live. If you're ready to grow more food and create a healthier and happier life for you and your family, well, you are in exactly the right place. Hey friend, I'm interrupting this episode for just a quick minute because I have a really exciting announcement. For many, many years, I have relied heavily on planners to keep our full life in flow. But I have always struggled to find one that fits the uniqueness of a homestead lifestyle. The planners I've used in the past always kind of left me wanting more. They would contain weekly spreads that never quite fit our life, and they never took into account all the moving pieces of an old-fashioned lifestyle. You know, things like meal planning, gardening, preserving, or seasonal living. So I decided to make my own, and I am so excited to introduce to you today the Old Fashioned On Purpose Planner. It's designed for homesteaders by homesteaders. It's the planner I have wished for years, and it is loaded with helps, cheat sheets, templates, and guides to streamline your homegrown lifestyle, whether you live on 100 acres or you're just homesteading in your backyard. Head on over to prairieplanner.com and I'll show you a sneak peek of the inside. I also put together a bunch of bonuses to go with it, and guess what? Free shipping. That's www.prairieplanner.com. Now, back to our episode. So it's really no secret, like, homestead life is appealing, and I think that is why we are seeing such a growth in this movement, which, let me just be clear, I am thrilled about. I love, love, love that homesteading is becoming more of a common term. Like, when I say I homestead, I don't have to like explain that as much as I used to. There's more and more homestead Instagram accounts and websites and blogs than ever. Like, it's fantastic. And I think it really makes sense that it would grow now because life is weird right now, right? Like, life is uncertain. Life feels unstable. We had that situation earlier this year when there was no food on the grocery store shelves. Like, it's just a weird time to be alive. And not only do we crave the stability that comes with, hey, growing a garden and canning, like, I'll make sure I have my own food supply. Like, that's part of it. But also just this reassurance of the simple life is like, it's almost like a security blanket that we're drawn back to. And I love it. I love seeing the videos and the Instagram posts about, you know, the families growing their first garden or getting their first chickens, or there's the cute pictures of the kids feeding the bunnies or with the lambs and the gorgeous harvest coming in. And I know so many of you probably are also seeing these things, and it's so inspiring. And that's why one of the reasons I'm thankful for social media, because I think it would be harder for this homestead movement to grow if we didn't have the power of Instagram or YouTube to help show people, hey, This is possible. You might, you know, live in the middle of a big city, but it is still possible to have this beautiful, kind of romantic farm life. But there's a but, right? But we're, you know, on one hand, looking at all of these, if you want to call them homestead influencers, don't really, like, there's a lot of loaded meaning behind the word influencer these days, but homestead, you know, people like me on Instagram posting pictures of our gardens and our chickens and stuff. Like, you look at that and then you, you know, think about where you are. I know a lot of you live in a big city or maybe you live in an apartment and it's like there's this disconnect, right? Like, maybe you've looked at getting to this pastured paradise and you're like, I don't know how to get there. Like, what are you supposed to do? Like, one day be climbing the corporate ladder and then suddenly become a chicken farmer like 24 hours later? Like, how does this happen, right? And actually some people do that. There are stories of people going from CEO to chicken farmer, like, very quickly. Nothing wrong with that, but not everyone has the ability or the desire to have that much of an extreme switch. You know what I'm saying? Like, not everyone wants to do that. And that's totally okay. And what I come across most often when I'm working with folks, like whether they're reading the blog or they're following me on social media and commenting, or they're in my homestead mentorship program, is that they're kind of in this limbo mode. And there's this paralysis by analysis. Like, it's one of my favorite little catchphrases because it's a thing. It is a phenomenon where you get stuck in your head and you just like spin circles going around and around, wanting to do a thing, researching the thing, learning about the thing, but you just can't pull the trigger and do it. And so in this episode, I really sat down and I'm like, what can I give to my people, to you, that will help you go from the wannabe homesteader to like actual someone I would consider to be in the homesteader category in like 24 hours or even less than that. Maybe like it could maybe even like 2 hours. Like, I don't want to oversell here, but like quickly you can go from a wannabe thinking about it, just watching somebody on YouTube or Googling recipes, to someone who's actually partaking in this lifestyle. And so I came up with three things. There's probably more than that, but these are the three things that really stuck out to me that are very doable that you can do today. Like, when I say today, I'm not talking like generic today. I'm talking like actually today, where you turn off your podcast app when you're done listening to this and you go and do these things, and it will transform you that quickly. Okay. Before I tell you what they are though, let's get clear on just our terms first, because I think this is really important. What is a homesteader? Now, if you're listening to this podcast for any length of time, you've probably already hashed that out, but I feel like the confusion around this term, so, you know, honestly, sometimes I wish we could call it something else. Sometimes I feel like homesteader is as good as I can come up with to describe this lifestyle that we all love. But sometimes it gets a little confusing. You know what I mean? Like, people are like, well, did you get your land for free, or did you inherit a ranch? Like, why are you a homesteader? And I'm like, oh, let me explain. So here's how I think of a modern day homesteader. And I say modern because it's different than someone back in 1860 something who got free land in the Homestead Act. That's not really a thing anymore. But now we have our modern homesteaders, which there's a lot of similarities. So here's my definition. A homesteader is someone who chooses to be self-reliant. Maybe not 100% self-reliant, but at least a portion. Self-sufficient is another word that comes up a lot, just as a rabbit trail, real quick. Side note. I've used that term. I don't think there's anything wrong with that term, but I think it's important that we acknowledge that no man is an island. And especially when you're in homesteading, it's a community-driven thing. Right. And even the old time homesteaders, like, they would work together. They would share harvest. They would share food. You know, if Bob grew a lot of carrots and Fred grew a lot of beets, they would trade. And like, self-sufficiency for us is not necessarily the goal, to where I want to have our family in a little bubble and we never need to barter or work with any other people. Like, that's not my goal. So I kind of steer away from that term, although I have used it in the past. Nothing wrong with it, but that's just, anyway, rabbit trail. Anyway, okay, a homesteader is someone who chooses to be self-reliant. A homesteader is someone who is willing to push against the societal narrative. Yes, amen. Like, whenever I talk about this, I get so fired up, someone who can blaze their own trail, someone who wants to be a producer, not just a consumer, right? So there's this theme that I see in so many homestead-minded people. They don't want to be one of the crowd. They don't want to go with the flow. They don't want to ride the river of least resistance. They want to not conform. They want to think for themselves, be in charge of their health, be in charge of their food, in charge of their choices. Like, I love those people. You are my people. The nonconformists, you are my favorite. So that is a huge theme that I see in homesteading. And part of the reason I love homestead people so very much. And also could be someone who craves just a wholesome, healthier life for their family, right? You just want to get away from the processed food and all the pharmaceuticals and this whole like hamster wheel we get on of like the bad food makes us sick. So we go to the drugs and the drugs make us sick. So we take more drugs. And it's just like this horrible cycle that so many of us in modern culture have been on at some point, or maybe we're on now. So we want to get off that and we want to get into wholesome lifestyles, healthy lifestyles, homegrown, connected to nature, right? That's what I see a homesteader being, or who I see a homesteader being. And here's the thing. Here's my favorite part about all of this. You do not have to have land to do any of those things. And if you listened to that list I just gave you, that was really more mindsets, right? It's all about the mindset versus if you have a cow or not, if you have a tractor or not, if you have 100 acres or not. It's not about that. And I'm not just saying that to make you feel better. Like, for years and years, I've said, you know, you can be a homesteader no matter where you live. And I feel like sometimes people might be thinking, okay, whatever, Jill, that's easy for you to say because you have the land and the cow. And you're just saying that to, you know, appease me. But truly, truly, it is a mindset. It's not about a certain number of possessions you might have. So in my opinion, all you have to do to fall into this homesteader category is to take action. That's my favorite thing. Take action. You can't just talk about it. And that's why I'm giving you three action items in today's episode. I was going to say post, but this isn't a blog post. This is a actual episode. because action is magic, right? And this is something that I have kind of stumbled across by accident. It's actually a personality trait that I have. Sometimes our natural instincts, you know, we have to kind of work through them and shape them to be a little different. But this actually is an instinct that I just have naturally because I'm a little bit type A. I'm a little bit intense. I'm a little bit extra, as all the younger generation says these days. I think that's supposed to be a bad thing, but I kind of am extra and I kind of own it because it's just how I roll. But whatever, for whatever reason, I do this naturally, and it happened to me accidentally over and over. And when I would start new projects and I would do new things, and I've realized that it has really been a key to my success, if you want to call that, whatever, in areas of my life, right? So what I do, here's what I do, and you can do this too, even if you don't do this naturally. Whenever I get an idea, I execute on it immediately. Now, I mean like immediately. And like I said, I do this naturally because I'm a little bit crazy. I'm a little intense. But even if you're not crazy like me, you can still do this. And it's magic. And I'll explain why. Here's a few examples. So if I find a new workout plan I want to try, like I start it that day. Usually because I'm just excited about it, right? But I just start it immediately. If I find a new diet or eating program I want to try, I start it on the next meal. Right? Like right now I'm really working on eating more protein and less crappy carbs, empty carbs. And so, when I was reading this book and kind of like thinking about this new idea of eating, and I decided I was going to go for it, like I started looking at more protein, like for supper that night, immediately. I didn't have perfect food in the fridge. I didn't have perfect recipes on tap, but I started to take imperfect action immediately. Same with one of my favorite examples of this is in my garden. It was a good number of years ago, like probably 8 years ago, way before I poisoned my garden, way before my raised beds and all that stuff. I was talking with a friend about this new gardening technique that we had discovered called hugelkultur. It's a super fun word to say, hugelkultur. And all it is, if you're not familiar with it, is it basically it's this old type of mound gardening where you take branches or wood and you layer that, like you take whole branches, like big old chunky ones, and you layer it with compost and dirt. And I don't remember all the details, but you make this mound and then you plant on top of the mound. And then the idea is that the wood slowly decomposes and you have this beautiful blend of soil underneath. So her and I were talking about hugel culture and like, oh, do you know what that is? Have you ever heard of it before? And so we got off the phone and I went to Google and I Googled a couple articles about it. I figured out how big my mound needed to be and what kind of wood I could use. And I literally went outside like the next hour and created a hugel culture bed. And like Christian came home from work and he's like, what you doing? And I'm like, I'm out here. I'm making a bed. It's hugel culture. And he's like, what? What are you doing? Like, you weren't even talking about this morning. And I'm like, it's because I didn't know about it this morning. I just discovered it. Like, I'm a little crazy, right? But like that little trick of taking imperfect action immediately really makes a difference, my friends. I don't wait till the first of the month to try something new. I don't wait till the new year. I hardly ever do New Year's resolutions because I like to start things when they come to me. And the reason I think this is so important is because I have found that the longer an idea sits in your brain, the less potent it becomes. Now think back. I'm sure you guys have experienced this. You get an idea from maybe just yourself or a friend, or maybe it's from the internet, or you're reading my blog, or you're reading someone else's blog or a YouTube channel, whatever. You get this idea. You're super excited. And you're like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to start it next week. I'm going to start it in October. I'm going to start it, you know, after the January 1st, right? You have good intentions. Your excitement is high, but then the longer you don't take action, the more you wait, the less exciting the idea feels, right? I know for me personally, an idea will have the most power and the most motivation attached to it when I act on it immediately. And even though I'm pretty good at putting things into action, like that's a skill that I have honed a lot over the years, even with me, even with Crazy Jill, like the longer I wait to do something, to take that first step, the less likely I am to actually do it. And I promise you it works. Try it. Like next time you have an idea, try it versus letting it sit. Like it's almost weird how an idea will literally just fade into your mind. Okay, hold on. I know you're thinking right now. You're like, okay, Jill, like whatever. So you want me to go like buy a homestead tomorrow? That doesn't seem like a good idea, right? And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying to be impulsive because I have seen, like there's a difference between feeling an idea, knowing an idea, and knowing it is right for you, right? Versus acting on impulse. Because impulse isn't always great, right? Sometimes we need to get wise counsel and think through things. So there's a difference. And I trust that you're going to go with your gut and you can feel the difference. Like when Christian and I make a big purchase, like a new vehicle, for example, we think through it, right? We make sure we have money in the bank because we pay cash for everything. We make sure that we're not going to overextend ourselves. Like we do think through decisions. I want you to know that. We do think through decisions. But on smaller things, like if it's an idea for me to start a new program on my blog, or I'm creating a new product, or I'm going to start a new gardening method or a new, you know, like I said, workout or diet, like the sooner the better. Like when I get an idea for a new ebook, or sometimes I'll get an idea for a new freebie I want to create for you guys. I will literally go to my computer immediately, provided I'm like driving or, you know, with friends or something. But I will go to my computer as soon as I physically can, and I will bullet point and outline out the idea for that ebook or that free thing, whatever it may be, immediately. Because if I wait, like it literally leaves my brain. It's crazy. Okay, hopefully I didn't belabor that point. But friends, action cures fear. And I didn't come up with that. I don't know who came up with that originally, but it's one of my favorite little quick quotes. Action cures fear. And there's nothing better that to shake you out of this paralysis by analysis mode than doing something, taking a step. It won't be all in one giant leap, but just do something. And that is why when I read these well-intentioned blog posts, it's like 10 steps to start your homestead. People always start with things like step one, think about what kind of homestead you want. Step two, Make a 5-year plan. Step 3, make a list of your homestead goals. Like, blah, blah, blah. It's okay, right? And to be fair, I have written content like that in the past and outlined things like that in the past, and it's okay. But really, when we're getting right down to it, it's not about 5 years of planning necessarily. It's more about just some imperfect action to dip your toe in the water and get started. Okay. Whether it's homesteading or business or anything else you want to do with your life, dip the toe, then jump in. So, okay. Without further ado, here are 3 action steps that you can take today, like literally today, like in the next hour, that will, in my mind, put you right into that homesteader category. You can wear the homesteader badge from here on out. Okay. And there's probably, there are more than these. This is not the only 3 things, but these are 3 things I think you could do right now that would make a big difference. Here they are. Okay. Number 1, make something new in your kitchen. There are, of course, things that you might make that fall into the homestead recipe category that you need special equipment for, or you need special ingredients for. So maybe like rendering lard shouldn't be on this quick action list because you have to go find some pig fat and you got to source the butcher, you know, all that. So maybe not something like lard. Maybe it's not canning today, right? You don't have a canner yet. Cool. But you can make something that you've never made before. Doesn't have to be a complicated recipe. Doesn't have to be gourmet, but it can be something. Maybe it's tortillas. Like to make tortillas, you need oil, flour, salt, and water. You can make tortillas. You could make biscuits. You could make a puffy pancake. I have a recipe for that on my blog. I have biscuit recipes and tortilla recipes on my blog. Those are easy, easy things. If you're gluten-free, maybe it is you're cooking a new cut of meat. Something, anything, right? It can be sky's the limit, but something that you've never made before that's with whole food ingredients. Right? Not like hamburger helper, a new type. Now that doesn't count. You know that. Not a new type of hamburger helper. Like it needs to be something, whole food ingredients that you've not made before. Okay. You could do that today. You could do it if you're listening to this in the morning. That could be lunch or supper. It could be something maybe you prep it for tomorrow, but you get your hands in the kitchen and you make something tangible that you've not made before. Okay. That's something you could do today. That's very homesteader. That is very much working with what you have and very much being creative. Those are characteristics of a homesteader, whether you're from 1860 or from 2020. Okay, the number two thing you can do that will launch you into homestead action today is buy some seeds. And maybe you don't need to buy seeds. Maybe you just need to plant some seeds. Maybe you already bought them, but you haven't planted them yet, right? Buy some seeds. If it is the dead of winter where you are living right now, you're listening to this, you can do sprouting seeds. You can sprout in your window. I have blog posts on that. I will link in the show notes. You can create vitamin C rich sprouts in your kitchen. Actually, I don't even think they need to be in a window. I think the sprouts could just be on your counter. If it's planting season where you live, you can get garden seeds. If you live in an apartment, you can get seeds to plant in a pot on your balcony or an herb garden in your window. If you live like in a place where I do, where fall is here, you could plant fall garden seeds or some hardy greens that'll last you into the winter. You could even get some lettuce seeds and grow that in your window. If you have a grow light, you could use that. Just buy some seeds. Some sort of seed. And I'll link some ideas in the show notes. I'll also link my favorite seed source, True Leaf Market. Shout out to them. I love them. But number 2, buy seeds. Number 3, like when I was thinking of my third one here, I was like, get chickens. But I'm like, no, that's probably not a good one because not everyone can just physically go get chickens, right? You live in an apartment or you have an HOA that's a little restricted. That won't work. But here's what you can do. You can get on the good old internet, use Facebook, use Craigslist, use localharvest.org or Google, and you can find one whole ingredient that you can buy locally, like something that's grown locally. It might be eggs if you can't do chickens. It could be eggs locally, like on our Facebook garage sale groups, you know, the local ones. There are so many people selling farm fresh eggs on there. You can find eggs, you can find maybe meat. You find a farmer with local beef or local chicken or pork. Maybe if you live in a state that's a little more relaxed on their food rules, you could find some local milk or cheese or cream. Maybe it's some honey from a local beekeeper. I think even if you live in Outer Mongolia like me and you don't live in a tropical environment with a lot of unique food production, you can still find those basics, right? And this is something that I really love to drive home. If you can't grow things yourself completely, right? You can always grow some herbs and some sprouts, but let's say you live in an apartment and you are really limited on what you can grow on your property. The next best thing that still is totally going to give you homesteader points is to find a local farmer or a local producer and get to know them, support them. Maybe once you get the relationship a little bit deeper, you could offer to volunteer or help or whatever. But that is a way you can be involved in the local food movement, even if you can't grow food yourself, that will absolutely put you into that homesteader category. So number one, make something today, something you have not made before from scratch. It can be simple, but make something. Number two, buy some seeds, any type of seeds, indoor, outdoor, I don't care. And number three, find one whole local ingredient you can buy this week, right? And maybe today is your sourcing of that, and then you can use the days left in this week to go pick it up or purchase it or whatever. So here's the deal. Here's why these action steps like this are magic. And maybe you discover your own action step. Maybe yours is get that pressure canner that's been sitting on your shelf, get it out of the box, dust it off, and read the instructions to figure out how to use it. You know, maybe it is to get the chickens. Maybe you have the chicken coop, you just haven't figured out where to get the chickens yet, or you're a little bit nervous. Like, maybe that's your action step. You can tailor these to fit you, but the key is that you do it right now, right? And the reason this is magic is because when you take this massive action, you get a little boost from the sense of accomplishment, or more specifically, it's actually a chemical in your brain called dopamine. So you get this little reward from your brain that says, good job, you feel good, yay, hooray. And I have found with me and many others that when we get that, it just prompts us to do the next thing, right? So often, and I have been guilty of this myself, we look at this obstacle or this project in front of us and we're like, I can't start until I know all of the steps from A to Z and how it's going to go. It's really easy to get into that mindset. Like, I have been there so many times, but that's not true, because what actually needs to happen is all we need to know is from step A, we're standing on step A, we just need to know B. Because once we step over to B, we're going to get that motivation and that sense of accomplishment to then figure out C and then figure out D. And that's actually how you get to the end, or you get to Z. It's not about knowing all of the steps ahead of time. And, you know, I've seen this manifest itself over and over in my life, over and over in the folks I work with in my homestead mentorship program, even in my kids in homeschool, right? When I have a kid who gets stuck, I like to give them a quick win. So for example, if my second grader can't sound out a whole word, he's struggling. And sometimes with my son, especially, his brain just kind of locks down and he's like, I can't. Like, he gets into this mode, like, I can't, it's not possible, it won't work, it's not going to happen, right? So when he gets into that mode, I realize that instead of just going, you know, you got to figure it out, come on, come on, come on, I have to go, no, let's just break it down into a baby step, right? So instead of the whole word and expecting him to sound that all out, we just sound out the first letter. And it just gives him a little quick win. It gives him a little dash of confidence building. And then he smiles once again, and then we can move on to working on the rest of the word, right? It's not about perfection at the beginning. It's just about the action steps. And that is why making lists and lists of goals and lists of homestead ideas and projects will never actually get you where you want to go. And you know me, I just created a planner. Like, I love lists and I love project plans, but I know they're just a tool. They are not the answer, because the only way to get into this homestead lifestyle is to take the first step. And so that, my friend, is my challenge to you today. In whatever you're craving, in whatever you are called to right now, Maybe it's not homesteading. Maybe you've already been there, done that with homesteading. Maybe you're setting your sights on something else. Maybe it's a healthier lifestyle. You want to take up a new style of eating. You want to create a new business or a new project within your business. Whatever it is that is speaking to you, pick out a baby step, one baby step, and start it today. Like right now, turn off the podcast and go do it, right? Because that is where the magic happens. You'll get the ball rolling and it just gets easier from there. Alrighty, so if you need a little help getting your homestead action stuff off the ground, I actually have an entire resource library I've created for that very thing. And you can get access to it for free over at theprairiehomestead.com/grow. And I actually just updated it last week. I put a bunch of new stuff in there. It's a little easier to navigate, so go check it out. And I think it'll really help you get your baby steps figured out and into action. And that, my friend, is all I have for you today. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode was helpful. I would love, love, love to see or hear about your action steps. So be sure to post it over on Instagram. Once you've got it figured out, or maybe you've made your thing or you've ordered the seeds, go ahead and post whatever it is over on Instagram or on Insta Stories, tag me, and I would love to cheer you on. Thank you so much for listening along, and we will talk again on the next episode of the Old Fashioned On Purpose podcast.